6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shane Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shane Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Tuesday, the 13th of March, and your Golden Knights are home safe and sound, getting ready to have a four-game homestand starting tomorrow against New Jersey. Put game number 69 in the books last night as they defeated the Philadelphia Flyers 3-2. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harness, Chris Chapman behind the board, and Frank, 10 points out of a possible 12 on the road trip, a new record achieved on the road for the most home or most road wins for an expansion team. Where do you want to begin?
All of it. Let's just dive right in there. You're right. The new record was actually set a couple games ago when they had their 20th win. Then last night they extended. So every win from this point on the road, they just extend that record a little bit further out. And, of course, always nice when a record that you're breaking is the Ducks, so they can take them out of the books. Actually, back then, the Mighty Ducks, because it was their inaugural season, 93-94. Marc-Andre Fleury's 400th goal. Carpenter, a beautiful goal. Just even when they're not playing their best, they're still playing good enough to win. And can we finally, once and for all, put an end to the Vegas flu? Because you don't win 21 on the road because of home cooking.
And 21 on the road is good for second best in the NHL, so we can certainly do that. Marc-Andre Fleury, as you said, 400 wins in his career, so good on you, Marc-Andre Fleury, and a pretty exciting night all the way around the NHL. 1,000 memories last night, 400 wins for Marc-Andre Fleury, 600 goals for Alexander Ovechkin.
Yeah, a couple milestones there. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare going back and beating his old club in their building. He did find the visitors' locker room just fine. So, but yeah, just a great road trip all the way around. And what's even better is the team continues to get a little bit healthier. We should be seeing James Neal soon. We've seen Nate Schmidt back on the ice. Carrier, some other guys, Malcolm Subban. I mean, as good as this team is, the potential is, or the reality probably is, it's going to be getting even better here real soon.
It'll be fun to see tomorrow, City National Arena, 10:30 a.m. for morning skate before the New Jersey game, and we will see who is on the ice, and we should get some updates from Gerard Gallant and the staff up there tomorrow. Today was a complete off day. They got in about 3 o'clock this morning from their flight, so no activity today, no players, no coaches, nothing available today, but there should be plenty of news tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess if you want to be Debbie Downer, you can say, well, most of the other teams in the Pacific won last night too, but who cares? The Vegas Golden Knights completely control their own destiny. There is no way at this point that they should not finish first in the Pacific. Can they finish first in the West? Well, could get a little bit of help tonight from another team that they're actually fighting for that spot if Winnipeg could beat Nashville.
Yeah, could get some help there. But even though San Jose won last night, even though L.A. won last night, it still ticks another day off of the clock. And that's another day that they don't get any closer, 13 games remaining for the Golden Knights on the season.
Yeah, and the bottom line is if Vegas keeps on winning, the rest of these teams can all go undefeated, and Vegas still, because they have such a large lead, should have enough or very likely will have enough to hold them off and win the Pacific Division.
Lots of fun last night. 3-2 was your final, and part of that was due to a really great effort by Pierre-Édouard Bellemare.
Yeah, Bellemare was he clanged one off the post that you were kind of like, oh, was that his opportunity here? And it would have been a huge goal at the time. But, you know, to his credit and the team's credit, like we've seen all year long, like we've said all year long, this team keeps on fighting through any kind of adversity. Whatever goes wrong, whatever goes right, they stay together. They play for each other. And the move that he did to set up what turned out to be the game-winning goal was just absolutely incredible, and I don't think it's getting nearly enough credit. I know we talked about it a lot in the post-game show, but the other people are talking about the Eakin pass and the shot by Carpenter, but none of that's even possible if it's not for what Bellemare does along the boards.
All right, certainly he began what turned out to be our play of the game, and Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, Cody Eakin, Ryan Carpenter combining for that play of the game. Brought to you by Best Mattress, Best Service, Best Selection, Best Price Guaranteed. Your play of the game, Ryan Carpenter.
There's the other side, Simmons. Body, Ian Bellemare get there. Bellemare won the battle. Bellemare in behind the net. Eakin center, shot, score! Carpenter beating Mrazek, and it's 3-2 Vegas. You win battles, you win hockey games.
You win battles, you win hockey games, and that was clearly on the shoulders of Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, maintaining possession, getting deep into the zone, and then the beautiful no-look pass by Cody Eakin.
Yeah, and what I like about that call is you can hear they have the mic on the ice there. So you can kind of hear when he's doing the battle, and if you didn't see it, he's fighting along the boards to keep control of the puck, and a couple Flyer players come over there. He kind of bounces it off the boards to himself. Then he throws it between one of the Flyers players' legs off the board to himself again. Then another guy's coming towards him. He has the presence of mind to recapture the puck again, have complete control of it. He sees Cody Eakin, throws it over to Eakin. Eakin's got his back to the net as he's behind the goal line, and Eakin just takes it and nonchalantly throws a no-look pass. It looked like a Magic Johnson pass or something in basketball, and Carpenter is just flying down the ice, and he takes it in perfect stride and just buries the puck. If there was ever a goal that deserved both assists on it, it was that goal. And I know Eakin gets the primary assist. You could argue that Bellemare's assist was just as primary or just as crucial because, like I said, if he doesn't do what he does along the boards, the opportunities never even materializes.
Yeah, it certainly didn't. In a goal when they needed it most, the issue still in doubt late in that game, and that turned out to be the game winner. But it was only the game winner because of the brilliant work by Marc-Andre Fleury. He faced 40 shots. He turned away 38 of them to get his 400th win, and that was worthy of our player of the game. The player of the game is brought to you by Brankus Team Realty, your home sold guaranteed. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Couturier looking. Borjek again has to recollect it. Thought about shooting it. Feeds it down to Couturier. Trying to go back door. Caught that low. A save made by Fleury on Simmons. And the puck sent around the boards and back to the blue line. And that's it. Marc-Andre Fleury with 400 wins in his career. The 13th goaltender in NHL history to do it. And he does it with a 38 save performance in Philadelphia. He and his team capping a 4-1 road trip.
Marc-Andre Fleury, right down to the final second, had to be brilliant to preserve the one-goal lead he was.
Yeah, he absolutely was. He was incredible in Buffalo. He was incredible in Philadelphia there. Marc-Andre Fleury playing some of the best goaltending that he's played in his entire career. The whole team feeds off him, and he's having a good time during the whole thing as well. Remember in the Buffalo game, he played great. He also told David Perron how to score the first goal in the shootout, and Perron changed his mind and listened to it. So it's amazing that he can be that focused and that centered on his job, yet still have the presence of mind and the humor and everything, and he's relaxed enough that he's talking to other players out there, telling them what to do. You know, he's chirping at the opposition. Marc-Andre Fleury is just an all-around good guy, and I couldn't be happier, and I can't wait for him to pass Chris Osgood next on the list, because I never thought Osgood was that great of a goalie. Marc-Andre Fleury is much better. Pass him up at the 401. Let's just put him in the rearview mirror.
That's right, and that should happen right quickly, we would think. Well, Marc-Andre Fleury all smiles after the game as he spoke with Ali Lozoff.
You just reached a career milestone, your 400th win. What does this mean to you?
It's pretty cool. You know, it's something maybe I've heard a little bit more in the past few days here, and to finally achieve it, you know, especially against the Flyers. You know, we always had good games against them. So, real happy that that's finally over with.
Well, congratulations. And you head home 4-1. Give us your takeaways from this road trip.
A little tiring, I think. it's good though, you know, that a lot of teams are saying, a lot of people are saying that we win at home, right, because we're in Vegas, but you know, we're showing a lot of character on the road and find ways to win games, you know, and once again we did it this road trip.
That was Marc-Andre Fleury on his 400th win, and now he joins Roberto Luongo at 467 and Henrik Lundqvist at 430 as active goaltenders that have reached the 400-win milestone.
Yeah, and certainly just a great achievement, and we hope that he's around a long, long time and he continues to climb up that list. What Roberto Luongo's done this season is absolutely amazing, but what Marc-Andre Fleury's done this season, especially when you consider all the games that he missed because of the concussion, he is just incredible, and he's a leader in so many different ways with this team, keeping everybody loose, keeping everybody focused, and also letting all the youngsters and everybody else out there know what it means to win and knowing what it takes to win.
And that makes him 13th on the all-time list with 400. As you said, Chris Osgood is next in the headlights. He is at 401 and Grant Fuhrer at 403, so we could see both of them passed this season.
Yeah, and if he absolutely was on fire in the last 13 games and got basically every start, he could possibly pass Glenn Hall, but I have a feeling that's going to be next season, Hall at 407. So you would think that at some point or another, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to get a breather or a break in a game, but boy, the way he's playing right now, who knows when.
Right, he certainly has been everything that they want him to be. And you think about Marc-Andre Fleury and what he's meant to his teammates. A lot of guys saying a number of things about him. He's the backbone of our team, said Eric Halla. We're really lucky to have him.
Yeah, and absolutely, that's what the entire team sentiments about him. And again, it can't go to a nicer guy out there. Derek England also said about him, he's fun to be around. He works hard. He's great for the young guys with his compete on and off the ice. Just seems like you come in and you're having a bad day. You see him and you're not having a bad day anymore. He's huge in the locker room. And, you know, it's not only just for the players on the ice that England's talking about. As we talked about, when I came back from the accident and I was in there, Marc-Andre Fleury was one of the first ones. He called me over to ask me how I was doing and that kind of stuff. He doesn't know me from Adam. I'm just one of the guys in the media and the new town he's with and that kind of stuff. He had genuine concern and that kind of stuff. I felt better coming back from a broken neck just because Marc-Andre Fleury smiled at me and called me over, and when they came over and said he's not doing anything, he was like, no, chill, take it easy. I call him over here or whatever. So Marc-Andre Fleury is just an all-around good person. We heard that about him, and sometimes you hear stuff about people, and then you meet them, and they find out maybe it's a little PR work. In Marc-Andre Fleury's case, I don't think it's PR whatsoever. This is just a quality human being, and Gerard Gallant said about him, too, that he's an even better person than he is a goaltender, which is pretty amazing because he's a great goaltender.
Yeah, that quote from Gerard Gallant said, I heard his personality was unbelievable. They say as a person, he's a better person than he is goaltender, and that says a lot because he's a great goaltender. First time you meet him, the first time you see him around the room, he's great around his teammates. So high praise from the teammates, from the front office, from the coaching staff. It's good to be Marc-Andre Fleury.
It's good to have to be Marc-Andre Fleury, but you know what? It's also very good to have Marc-Andre Fleury as your goalie. He's one of the huge reasons, and I know we say this about a lot of guys, but it's because it's true about a lot of guys. They don't have the success they've had right now with Marc-Andre Fleury. And in a strange sort of way, his injury also let the team know that they could get on without him, that they could keep level and stay afloat. But now that he's back, you just see everybody feeling that much more confident because they know that if they make a mistake, that Fleury can still back them up and have their back. If they do get down, they can get the next goal because Marc-Andre Fleury's back there. They're never out of a hockey game. And if you don't have that kind of confidence in a goalie and you're looking over your shoulder and you're not completely thinking about what you're doing, that's how you lose a lot of hockey games. Marc-Andre Fleury makes everybody else on the ice a better player.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board. And for all his accomplishments, Frank, 400 wins, 3 Stanley Cups, Olympic gold medal, there's still something that he feels is missing?
Yeah, there definitely is something that he feels is missing. And NHL Network's Kevin Weeks caught up with them and asked him, your agent told us there's something you'd like to do, and that was scoring a goal.
There's one thing that you want to do. We saw Alex Nedeljkovic do it in the AHL for the Charlotte Checkers. Is that one thing that we can look for from you going forward? Maybe.
Yeah, you know, if the timing's right. I think I want our team to have at least a 2-goal lead, you know, so I don't make a costly mistakes, you know, but yeah, I think it's something I always wanted to do, and hopefully I can accomplish it before I'm done.
And Marc-Andre Fleury, watch out. They get that two-goal lead in the empty net. He's coming for it.
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury. And we've seen him several times at City National Arena, even at T-Mobile once when he was still coming back from the concussion and wasn't back. When we saw him out there on the ice by himself, you see him practice a little stick handling. And, yeah, he does that to help start the offensive attack and get the puck going in the right direction on a counterattack or whatever. But he also likes to shoot it here and there. And he'll work on a little looking for the corners and looking for different things. Now, obviously, his goal, he doesn't have to look for the corner because it's going to be an empty net at the other end. But I certainly hope he gets it, and I hope he gets it in a home game where we get to see it, because it'd be absolutely incredible. But Marc-Andre Fleury, every time I see a goalie out there, especially ones that like to go out of the net, and Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't wander real far out, but he does like to go behind the net and handle the puck sometimes. I think in the back of their minds, they're all a little bit of a frustrated winger. They don't like to take a couple shots at the other guy as well.
It is. It's like pitchers that like to hit a home run. You know, it's just one of those things where you see the seven, not so much anymore, but you used to see the old 7-foot center who liked to shoot the three. Now it's a little more common, but yeah, it's just something out of the character.
Now they have to, or they don't let him in the league.
Exactly. Now the whole thing has changed. But yeah, you know that Marc-Andre Fleury, when he has his dreams, he's taking off at the blue line and going down there and putting the backhand shot on.
By the way, stay tuned to the show, because a little bit later on, we're going to tell you about a young goalie who you've probably not heard of that has scored a goal. In fact, he's done it in the last two consecutive seasons, so stick around for that as well. But yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury, just a quality person. And it's like, have you ever heard anybody, even guys from Philadelphia, where the fan base really can't stand him, but they still respect and love him, that said anything really negative about Marc-Andre Fleury? The worst thing they can say is Fleury, Fleury, and then you know what they say after that, but they say it in a loving way because they can't stand how good he is.
Yeah, and we've heard a lot of loud eruptions at T-Mobile Arena, but I can only imagine what it would be like to see Marc-Andre Fleury score a goal.
How about if he did it in a playoff game?
Oh, so
against
good.
The Kings.
So
against the Kings.
Good. And as you had mentioned, Marc-Andre Fleury, team had to learn a lot about themselves when he was gone, and team had to learn a little bit about themselves over the past couple of days, because we saw that James Neal did not make the trip, and Riley Smith came home early from the trip after being injured.
Yeah, originally went on it, but then they sent him back here to Vegas because they're like, look, you're not going to play here anyhow. Go back there and get the therapy and everything that you need.
So they were looking at a couple of games without two of their more potent offensive players in James Neal and Riley Smith, and they passed the test of being able to win without two of their best offensive threats.
Yeah, and not only two of their best offensive threats, but also trying to find people that did fit in where they used to be. And that's a difficult thing to do. Tomas Tatar was changing around line. Alex Tuck was changing things. There's different guys going all over the place trying to find that chemistry. And even when they didn't necessarily find it, sometimes other lines that maybe were together a little bit longer thought, you know what? Well, they're tweaking with this stuff here. Maybe this is our time to shine. Like the game where Tuck had two goals and Eakin had the other two. They absolutely, looks like they blow Detroit out on the score sheet. But it was the third line that did that. So even when the guys are missing and the top two lines aren't performing, it still doesn't mean that this team is out of a hockey game. That's a very important thing mentally to have going for you with the playoffs around the corner, knowing that even when your big guns aren't firing, you can still get production from the other guys.
Especially for a guy like Cody Eakin, who'd been a little bit in the doghouse with some of the fans recently because he hadn't scored in a while, gets those two in Detroit, gets the goal or gets the assist last night, that he got a little bit off of the schneid and showed he does have some offensive flair. And just that going forward, that they were able to sort of sneak by with other guys over the last three games has to do wonders for the confidence of this team.
Yeah, not just the assist, but a beautiful assist. Mm-hmm. If you showed that play to somebody and said, don't look at the number on the jersey or nothing like that, who did it? Cody Eakin, in a lot of people's mind, might be one of the last people that they say out there that does it. But it was a beautiful assist. It was no look. He saw Carpenter. And just the fact, all three of those guys, not necessarily known for their offensive prowess, but certainly connecting there and becoming more and more known for it. We know Bellemare is a solid player who can do a lot of different things. And Carpenter's been an absolute talk about taking the lump of coal and turning it into a diamond. This guy's been an incredible pickup from San Jose. I don't think San Jose thought that he had this kind of talent, kind of like Columbus had no idea that William Karlsson was as good as he is. And I'm not saying that his numbers compare to Karlsson, but in the opportunities he's had and the lines that he's played on, I think Carpenter's done an amazing job with this team.
He certainly has, and scored goals at big moments. Another guy that likes to score goals, Alex Ovechkin. He had himself a pretty good night last night. On the other side of the break, we're going to look at what happened to the Washington winger last night. A wonderful moment for him and his team. But it's all about Marc-Andre Fleury today and the Golden Knights. And when they win, you win too. So be sure to listen to us right here at Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM after every Golden Knights victory for your chance at a $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers. We are going to give that away right now. 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. 400 wins. Let's go. Caller number four. You're getting $50 from MJ Christensen a Diamond Jewelers. When we come back, we will talk about Alex Ovechkin and see what a wonderful career he has had thus far right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
Flyers can't control a loose puck. Schmidt keeps the zone. Right side Perron feeds down low. Backdoor pass. Score! Colin Miller from the right side got the pass. And the Golden Knights strike first. It's a power play goal. Theodore shoots. Tipped on goal. Save. Rebound. Score! Karlsson on cue. 2-1 Knights. It's a power play goal. Behind the goal, Eakin setting it up, left wing shot, they score! Ryan Carpenter from the left circle, and Vegas takes the lead 3-2, 2:40 to go.
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. On a Tuesday, getting ready for a four-game homestand commences tomorrow night with the New Jersey Devils in town. Pre-game show at 6:30, puck drop at 7 o'clock as the Devils get their first look at T-Mobile.
Yeah, and I believe we might have some tickets coming up.
I think we might have some tickets just a little bit later, so stick around for that, and we will have we'll have some of those tickets for you, so good times on that.
Absolutely.
You know, Frank, a pretty big day yesterday in the NHL. Of course, the 400th win for Marc-Andre Fleury. But Alexander Ovechkin joined the 600 goal club, and he did it in style, getting 599 and then 600.
Karlsson drags it for Ovechkin. Ovechkin lets it go. He scores! Alex Ovechkin, one away from 600. Centering pass just out of reach for Ovechkin. Niskanen towards the front of the goal. Kuznetsov looking. Ovechkin drives it. And it's diving Hellebuck. Rebound. Score! Alex Ovechkin still going strong. Overpowering at 600.
600th career goal. Only three players in the NHL have achieved that feat in fewer games. And that is Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and Brett Hull. So not bad company indeed.
Yeah, and they're also the only four now that have done that in less than 1,000 games. Hall and Ovechkin doing it well into the deep into the 900s. Gretzky and Lemieux a little bit quicker.
A little bit. 718 for Wayne Gretzky, 719 for Mario Lemieux.
A little bit easier to score goals back then. Goalies weren't quite as good, and it was a very wide-open hockey game.
It was also his 119th career multi-goal performance for a share of 16th place on the league's all-time list. And no surprise, Wayne Gretzky holds that record as well with 189.
Wayne Gretzky, what he did as a hockey player, for some of the younger people out there, maybe people that just weren't big hockey fans back then, he was just absolutely ridiculously good. And yes, it was a different era and it was more wide open, but he would have as many assists in a season is the second place guy in the league would have points. I mean, what he did still can't be argued as, I mean, there's a reason they call him the great one. It was just absolutely insane, the numbers he put up. And I saw him play several times live, and every time I saw him, I didn't want to see him score. And I never saw him in a game where I didn't see him score.
Yeah, just unbelievable. And Wayne Gretzky saying that he hopes that Alex Ovechkin can catch him on the all-time list, and he wishes him well in breaking the record. But it got me thinking about who is playing now that could also get into the 600-goal club. So I'm going to run some names by you, Frank, and let me know what you think about their chances. We will begin by the guy that is closest, and that is Patrick Marleau of the Maple Leafs. He needs 71 in order to get to the magic 600 number. He's averaged about 26 per season. So thoughts on Patrick Marleau?
Well, Marlowe's had 20 goals for the 15th time in his 20-year season, so he's right around that mark all the time. He is 38 years old, so, you know, he's not a youngster out there, but he takes care of himself. We know that today with the health and everything that people do and the training they have year-round, they do tend to – they can go a little bit deeper and longer in their careers. I think Marlowe's got a great shot at 600. I don't think it's an absolute given, but I think he does have a great shot at it. The one thing that I would say that could make it difficult besides his age is it's harder to score goals today. Goalies are incredibly good, and as we saw, as we've seen this year doing this show and watching the reports every day, injuries are all over the place. So it's not easy to score goals. There's a couple guys that are really good at it. Marlowe's one of them. I think he will probably find a way to get there, because as long as he takes care of himself, I think he'll stay around long enough to do it.
And even though he is 38, does still have 2 years left on his contract, so at least he knows he's got a place to play for the next 2 years if he can figure out how to get 71 in those two seasons plus the next 14 games or so that the Maple Leafs have this year. A couple of Penguins are on the list at Sidney Crosby. He needs 195. He averages 31 per year. And Evgeny Malkin, who needs 233, and he averages about 31 each year.
Yeah, so both of these guys average about 31 a year. Remember, Crosby had 44 goals last season. He's certainly a goal scorer. Malkin is also great. They're both 31 years old as well, so they average about 31 goals a year. They're both the age of 31. Obviously, Crosby's a lot closer to it with 195 as opposed to 233. I do think Crosby will get there. I think Crosby's one of the best players ever. I think he wants to keep on playing as long as he's relevant, and let's face it, as long as him and Malkin are on the same team, their teams are going to be relevant, so I think Crosby's got a real good shot at it, although he's a great assist man as well. Malkin, I think he's a good goal scorer, but I think he's a little bit longer of a shot, not just because he's a little bit more behind it, but sometimes it's harder for him to do it, you know, just because he's not on the first line. He's not always out there with the top guys out there. Crosby also makes other players out there better with him, too. So they both certainly have a chance. And you know that the Pittsburgh Penguin fans, and both of them as well, would love to both do it and say that they were teammates on the same team that did it. Remember, in the offseason, for crying out loud, these guys made a video where they were racing Zambonis. They're actually really good friends. Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone wants to make more of a rivalry than these two have. They both realize that they have success when the other has success. So we will keep an eye on those guys. Now, a couple of guys that are in their mid to late 20s, and that is Patrick Kane and Vladimir Tarasenko. Patrick Kane at 29 needing 290, and Tarasenko at 26 needing 428.
I think they both have a possibility to do it, but, man, it's a long shot for both of them, I believe. Patrick Kane, it's hard for him because it seems like because of the Blackhawks salary cap, he's always playing with different line mates every season. So I don't know that he's going to have that comfort level where he's always got the guys that can dish it to him. He's great at assists and everything, and he's again, he gets 20 goals every season he's out there, but 20 goals, that's still a lot of goals with 290 more to go. Tarasenko, obviously, even farther away, but Tarasenko's also 3 years younger than Kane. So, and well, I think Tarasenko's going to have a hard time doing it. I think he's talented enough that he could and maybe even should, but I don't know if he can do it with the St. Louis Blues because they just don't open it up very much. When they get a lead, they tend to sit back, and it's harder to score goals on a team that, if you have a lead, doesn't let you go out and try to score goals, and that's kind of how St. Louis's MO has been before. I think Tarasenko's an absolutely incredible player, and obviously I'm a big Patrick Kane fan, but I do think there's a book on him now, how to beat him a little bit by just getting really physical with him, and if more teams do that and if he doesn't have other teammates to take some of the pressure off him, it's going to be difficult. So both of them a possibility. Tarasenko, I think a change in scenery or at least a change in philosophy by the front office would help him. And Kane, I think Patrick Kane has all the ability in the world to do it. He'd also, I believe, be the first American-born player to do it. So.
He would. And the thing with Vladimir Tarasenko, if he averages 30 goals for the next 10 seasons, he'll still be 128 away. So
yeah. So, that's
a tough ask.
And like I say, especially on a team where they don't necessarily, they're not offensive-minded. At least the Blackhawks are an offensive-minded team. Kane has that. He has that ability to do that and go out there and get it. Tarasenko, it's tough when you get a one-goal lead and they say, all right, now take the pedal off the metal. I mean, it's no. You keep on pressing it down. Let a thoroughbred run.
Mm-hmm.
Vladimir Tarasenko, as much as I like him, I would love to see him on a team that really lets him show what he can do. It's kind of like when Michael Jordan was at North Carolina in college basketball, and the old joke was the only one that could hold Michael under 20 points a game is Dean Smith, his coach.
Right.
You put Tarasenko on a team that's wide open. Could you imagine him on the Vegas Golden Knights?
Ooh, that would be spectacular. Well, let's move on to the youngsters, to Connor McDavid, who at age 21 needs 521 goals to reach 600. Auston Matthews, who is 20 years old, needs 532. And Patrick Laine, who is 19, who needs 523.
You know, it's cool that they put all these people on the list, but let's face it. I mean, it's such a long career. And, yeah, I mean, could they do it if they stay healthy and play a career and they want to keep on playing 40 years and they're not settled in and they don't get injuries? Every one of them has the possibility to do it. The purest goal scorer on that list, in my opinion, is Patrick Laine. Patrick Laine, his job is scoring goals. The other guys, McDavid and Matthews, I think of actually assist-first guys and also who can score goals. Now, you'll hear some people say, well, if McDavid could learn how to finish on a breakaway, he'd have 200 a season. We've heard old ex-players say that. And there is some truth to it because he does get a lot of breakaways that he creates. If he does get that finishing touch and he can put them away, his goal-scoring numbers will go up a little bit. But there's so many factors with people that young. I mean, you're talking 19, 20, 21-year-old kids out there, and you're projecting an entire career on them. Can we get to, like, you know, I don't know, maybe the 100 mark before we start talking about 600?
Can we have, let's have this discussion again in 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, and again, all of them tremendous hockey players, but there are so many factors. But I will throw in, I do believe the best pure goal scorer out of those three is Laine. Not maybe the best all-around hockey player, but Laine is an incredible goal scorer. The other two both still need a little bit more, maybe a little bit better finishing touches, especially McDavid on those breakaways, because he does get a lot of opportunities.
Well, as you had said, with guys that have to worry about injuries, Jack Eichel, one of those guys, he was back at practice with the Buffalo Sabres on Tuesday for the first time since injuring his ankle on February 10th. He's missed the past 14 games. I think Eichel probably wants to get back into the lineup. Not sure that the Sabres are going to let him.
Yeah, and if I was the Sabres, I wouldn't let him. I mean, I understand why he wants to. He's a hockey player. If I was a coach or the front office, I'd be upset if he didn't want to get back in because that makes me question his heart and his desire to play the game. But as a coach, I'd say, look, the guy's had injuries. He's very young, but he gets injured every year. Let's put him on the shelf now, get him 100% back, and get him ready to go. But Eichel feels that he owes it to the fans, he owes it to his teammates, and I'm sure that he also, in the back of his mind, would like to go, you know, I mean, that's more opportunities for me to score some points and everything and, you know, etch my legacy down the road or something like that. Now, I don't think that's in the forefront, but everybody wants that kind of stuff. He wants to score goals and do some other stuff as well. Plus, he probably wants to show that he can go out there this year, feel comfortable again, end the year without getting injured, and then use that as a positive mentally going on to the next season. So it's one of those slippery slopes. Do you let him play or don't you let him play? He's going to want to play. As an organization, I would have no problem whatsoever if they shut him down.
Also, Matthew Tkachuk listed as day-to-day upper body. Wouldn't mind that bleeding about 6 or 7 days so that we miss him on Sunday.
Yeah, and again, if we do miss him, fine, and if we do see him, fine, too. I always like to see the best players in the world out there. But Tkachuk, Calgary, I have a feeling if he's ready to go, they're going to play him because they need points and they need wins because they're fighting for the playoffs. Completely 180 from the situation with Jack Eichel.
And one that's in the middle is Auston Matthews with the Maple Leafs. He practiced today for the second time since injuring his shoulder on February 22nd, but it's unclear when he's going to return to the lineup. Mike Babcock said they're going to be more than sure that he's 100%. He said he's going in the right direction and feeling good, but he will be over ready before he gets in.
Yeah, and right now they are trailing the Boston Bruins by 7 points for second place in the Atlantic. So it's an uphill battle to try to catch them anyway with, you know, about 12, 13 games left in the season, especially, by the way, Boston has 2 games on hand there. At this point, maybe you just say, you know what? We're trailing Boston by 7, but we're still 12 points ahead of fourth place Florida in the division. So they're pretty much solid and set as to where they're going to be in the playoffs right now. So I agree with the coaching staff there. Let him be 100% or even more than 100% if you're going to be over ready for it. I would still want to get him in there at least a few games to make sure that he gets his skating legs back and everything and gets that chemistry back with the team. But I'm not rushing him in there because your place in the playoff right now, you're where you're going to be. You're going to be playing the Boston Bruins unless something crazy happens in the next couple weeks here, the final few weeks of the season. Boston's going to have the home ice. That's your first-round opponent. Get ready for the playoffs.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. We've got some tickets coming up here in a couple of minutes against New Jersey, but still more news to tend to. We will go to Pittsburgh, where Matt Murray will travel with the team on their upcoming road trip. The goaltender did go to practice today for the first time since sustaining a concussion on February 26th when he took a puck off of the mask, but he looks like he's getting closer.
Yeah, he is getting closer, but again, he's somebody that you need for the duration because you don't have Marc-Andre Fleury as your backup this year when you start the playoff run. You have some goalies that maybe you don't 100% believe in or don't know what to expect when they get to the playoffs, so I would imagine that they're going to take that, you know, with kid gloves and really make sure that he's ready to go. It is interesting that in the Metropolitan Division, we have all these teams fighting, 85 points for the Capitals, 84 for the Penguins, 81 for the Flyers, and yet none of them playing exactly great hockey right now. Washington 5-5 in their last 10. Pittsburgh 6-4. Philadelphia 4-5-1. The hottest team in that division right now is actually Columbus at 7-3, who's trying to sneak their way in there, 2 points behind Philadelphia right now. But for a wide-open division, nobody really standing out and showing that they want it.
Somebody that is standing out, though, is over in Pyeongchang. As we know, the Paralympics are going on right now, and Team USA is perfect through pool play. Declan Farmer, widely regarded as the best sled hockey player in the world, plays for Team USA. Helped them get by South Korea this morning, coupled that with a couple of 10-0 victories over the Czech Republic and over Japan, has placed Team USA into the semifinal where they will play Italy.
Yeah, and they're not just playing well. They're playing exceptionally well. They're shutting teams out. They're scoring 10 goals in games. And when I've watched some of those games, because I have channel surfed and watched some on the I think it's NBC Sports is where I've been seeing them. What amazes me is how accurate they are with their shooting. They get good shots off, and they hit the corners.
Yeah, they certainly do. Best sled hockey team in the world. So good luck to the boys there at Team USA. And also, Frank, this would be interesting of you. We remember UNLV was at the national championship playing this weekend and unfortunately got knocked out by the University of Ohio.
Boo, Bobcats.
But the University of Illinois, the Fighting Illini, have advanced all the way to the championship. They will play Adrian College, so that's going to be fun for you.
Yeah, University of Illinois down there in Champaign-Urbana. I've made a trip or two down there in my younger days, and always a good time. Always amazed me, though, that Champaign is a dry county.
It is. So good luck to the University of Illinois, hopefully one day joining the Big Ten. Well, it is time to give away some tickets. We've got them to the New Jersey game tomorrow night. That's Wednesday the 14th. A puck drop at 7 o'clock. We will have the pregame show for you at 6:30. So give us a call at 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. Caller number 25. You are going to go to this game and see the New Jersey Devils. When we come back, Frank's going to talk to you about a AHL goalie that has a
propensity for goal scoring.
Yes. Could not have said it better myself. Right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
With the first pick in the 2009 draft, Eastern All-Stars select Alexander Ovechkin from Russia.
Edison Motors, your job, your credit. Edison Motors, your job, your credit. Ford, Hondas, Chevy, Beamers, and minivans. Over 600 cars, trucks, subs. Are you listening, man? Can you give me some shots vodka, please? Edison Motors, your job, your credit. Edison Motors, your job, your credit. It's going to be on YouTube for sure. For sure, man. I'm going to kill you.
Alex Ovechkin, 600 goals and a heck of a singing voice, but he's not the only guy that likes to score goals, Frank. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, 600 goals and arguably the greatest commercial in the history of television. We need him out here. He knows George McPhee.
Yeah, that's true.
George, make a call. All right.
Does he back check enough for Gerard Gallant?
Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
When I say probably, I mean definitely not. We just heard Marc-Andre Fleury say that he would love to score a goal in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Ovechkin just scored his 600th goal in NHL games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a Carolina Hurricane goalie prospect, Alex Nedeljkovic, who has scored goals in back-to-back seasons. Now, it's not in the NHL, but he got a goal for the Charlotte team of the American Hockey League in its 7-3 victory over Hartford. Charlotte was ahead 6-3 with about 2 minutes remaining. Nedeljkovic took a puck that was dumped in. He shot it down the ice into the empty net, whipping the crowd at the Bojangles Coliseum into a frenzy.
Mm.
He immediately went over to the bench to celebrate with his teammates high-fiving in that because he said, "I was ecstatic. The only thing I wanted to take from scoring last season was just to go to the bench and celebrate with those guys because I didn't do that last year. When I saw the puck was going in, I jumped up. I was throwing my hands in the air like I was a little kid again because the first time he said he scored the goal and he was all by himself and he kind of felt alone."
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really get to celebrate it enough. So he made an effort to make sure that he went over so this time he could hug the players and high-five his teammates and score another goal as a goalie. By the way, he joins a kind of illustrious crew as the only goalies now to score two goals in North American professional hockey. The other guys did it in the NHL. You might know a few of them. Ron Hextall.
Yeah, I remember he did it in the playoff. He had a playoff goal, Ron Hextall.
Martin Brodeur,
mm-hmm.
who was pretty good at stopping the puck as well. Chris Mason. And Mike Smith.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. I remember Evgeny Dabakov had one. I don't remember. I don't think he had more than one, but he just had one.
By the way, Nedeljkovic actually says that he actually practices on doing this. He's actually whiffed a couple times at pucks because when he sees an empty net, his first thought is, I want to score the goal.
What makes you happier when a goalie scores a goal, when a relief pitcher hits a home run, or when an offensive lineman scores a touchdown?
Goalie's going to go.
Yeah.
And I think Brodeur was actually the first goalie to score a winning goal in a game.
I believe you're mm-hmm. right.
He also had one in the playoffs against the Canadiens, I believe. So that's going to do it for us. Be sure to join us tomorrow just for the show here at 2 o'clock and then for the pregame show at 6:30, puck drop at 7 o'clock. Stick around, though. It is a terrible Tuesday, and T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.